Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. We have Cowboys Twitter coming up at noon. We'll take a look at some of the top tweets regarding the Cowboys that are starting to fly out of the combine. Another big day of news. And speaking of big day of news, more baseball going on. And here's Mike.
Well, let's talk about Mike Minor. He's going to be the ace of the staff, the number one starting pitcher. And he had a really solid season last year with 28 starts, 157 innings, and he went about 5 2/3 innings per start. But Mike Minor was somewhat frustrated with the way last year went, in that he was taken out of games after sometimes having a really good five innings, but he'd thrown 82 pitches or close to 90 pitches, and they're just like, hey, that's good. We're taking you out of the game. You had a nice game. And he's like, but I'm doing great. I'm getting the guys out. I'm doing good.
Keep going.
I feel good.
I feel like a lot of pitchers are getting frustrated by that.
Yeah.
But maybe he was felt picked on even more than the norm.
And he did, because he's had so much injuries in his career. The year before with Kansas City, he was a reliever. So the Rangers even skipped him a few starts where they're like, hey, Cole's just going to take this start. We're going to give you a couple extra days off. And even though he didn't get hurt last year, usually a starter gets 32 to 33 starts if they're healthy for the whole year, and Mike Minor was, but they backed him off about 4 or 5 starts just because they wanted to keep him healthy. I think the Rangers did a great job with Mike Minor. So I get Mike Minor's frustration. I think the Rangers, in a year where they were not competing for a division or anything, and a guy that they signed to a 3-year deal and taking a risk on starting him when most teams thought he was going to be a great reliever in the marketplace, I think the Rangers did a great job of giving him innings, 157, protecting him, and getting him through a whole season without having a major injury. I think they did a great job. But Mike Minor says in the quote here from The Athletic, it was frustrating. I think everybody here knew that. It was more about being competitive out there, and I felt like when I was pitching, I was already thinking about pitch count. If a hitter had a long at bat or something, I was already thinking about the result at the end of the game, being taken out early because of a pitch count or inning limitation. And so he's really talking to the Rangers, and the Rangers, at least, it looks like through this article on The Athletic with Levi Weaver writing it, is that they're going to try to take off the reins a little bit. It's like, hey, you proved to us that you can be a starting pitcher. I believe Chris Woodard today on the morning show talked about, hey, Mike Minor does want to be a guy who can throw 200 innings. I don't think that's the goal for the organization, to get him to 200 innings, but that, hey, we're not going to back you off of starts if you're feeling good. If it's your day to start and you're feeling great, you're going to get to start. If you're doing great after 5 or 6 innings and your pitch count's at 85, we'll let you go another 10 to 20 pitches. If it's in the day, you know, if it's in that. But the Rangers are also going to possibly take trade offers on Mike Minor.
Yeah, I think that's what you got to keep in mind. And if I'm Mike, I'm like, dude, we paid you a lot of money. You're the starter. You're an asset. You worry about your career. That's fine. I understand you're putting yourself first. Like, if I'm JD reading this, I might have a meeting with him.
Yeah.
And I'd explain, listen, you were injury prone. We tried to turn relievers into starters. They kept getting injured like crazy on us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that we're taking one inning away from your glorious start. But you know what? We take you out. We preserve your ERA.
Yeah.
We make you more tradable. I'm sorry, but this is the Texas Rangers, not the Texas Mike Miners.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what we've done for you is set you up to be a starter. So can you just get along here for a few more months before we trade you for something good?
Yes, and I will say this. Mike Minor is not in this article, if I'm presenting it in that way. I'm not meaning to present it, and Mike Minor was really mad at the organization. He was, like, just frustrated. Like,
yeah.
I can do more. I promise I can do more. Get your point. You had a great point. I just want to make sure that I'm not presenting this in a Mike Minor was mad at the organization, or kind of like, if you're not going to do this, I want out of the organization. He just, he's like, hey, I really want to be able to give more, and I can give more. I promise that I can give more.
Turned up my sports passion a little bit too much for the room.
Why'd you get so hot, Gavin?
Of like, because the Rangers.
Why are you so mad at Mike Minor?
The Rangers did a great job of protecting him.
Great question.
And then for Mike Minor, he also learned this is, he always wanted to look really good in a mirror. He wanted to, he wanted to have the pecs. He wanted to have the biceps. And when he's with the Braves, part of his injuries were like, dude. And they, he said they, and Mike Minor now knows as an, a more of an adult. I shouldn't say he was an adult with the Braves, but as he's matured, he's like, now I get when my pitching coach Roger McDowell and other people are like, hey, we get that you want to be in the weight room, but pitching the baseball is more important than being in the weight room. And just Mike Minor didn't care. He's like, I'm going to go in the weight room and get as big as I possibly can and look as great as I possibly
Beefcake.
Can. And I want to be, I want to look great. And so he realizes now at, I believe he's close to 30 years old, is, hey,
just let it
looking
go.
Good in the mirror doesn't produce results on a baseball field for a pitcher. And it doesn't, I'm not saying it does for a hitter. You do have to be strong. Being in the weight room is important, but you know, bench press is probably the most worthless exercise you can do as a baseball player. It's not like we have on a monthly basis, up, he's out for 3 weeks, torn pec, he's swinging the bat, you know, his pec muscle burst on him, or, you know, it does, it's very important in football. Tackling a guy, you're going to get stretched where that pec muscle needs to be as strong as possible. In baseball, you do need to be strong in that area, but getting super strong in that area, you know, getting the big boobs, that in a good way, mm-hmm. when it comes to doing those exercises.
Sexy man boobs.
Is, it's worthless.
Unless you start throwing it like Phillip Rivers, then it might come in handy.
Yeah, and you're probably going to have a lot of elbow and shoulder issues, especially throwing a baseball that way. But I just wanted to bring up Mike Minor. You know, he believes that he can give you 30-plus starts. He believes that he can give you 200 innings. And what's going to be interesting with the Rangers throughout this season, let's just say Mike Minor repeats his second half. I believe in the second half he had a 3.23 ERA, which is kind of all-star worthy ERA if he can put that together in the first half and possibly be an all-star. Is how much do you just look to trade him because he does have another year on his contract? Or do you look to, hey, I think in 2020 we could possibly win 90 games. Should we be trading a guy that we actually have under control for one more year at $9 million? Or do we move him and just keep looking towards the future? I think that'll be interesting with a guy like Mike Minor.
Yeah.
On how much do you want to move him when you do have him under contract,
man,
for another year?
You got to be willing to move anybody, right?
And I think so.
I hope they're not worried about the short term. I mean, it sounds good to want to go out there and put together a competitive product, but I'm a championship fan, man. I mean, I don't want to watch y'all get good at winning, right? But I know some fans are like, I want to see good players. I want my guy. I get invested, and it hurts, yeah. Right? But for me, it hurts to see likable guys still on the team when you could get a draft prospect for them. Yeah. You know, that's what hurts to me.
So moving on to my next baseball nugget, and this is a little bit of older news, but sign stealing is being cracked down in MLB baseball, and not from the guy leading off from second base and relaying the signs. If you have really bad signs, that he can give the guy an idea where the location is or what the pitch is going to be. It is that MLB teams have been using cameras in the outfield to steal signs.
Yeah. Ooh.
And so they're saying, look, there will be no more cameras besides the television camera that is authorized by whatever, Fox Sports Southwest, or really Major League Baseball. Like, the broadcast is by Masson and Fox Sports Southwest. Those are the only two cameras out there from now on. You can't have any video recordings of your guy because you want that, because teams have been using those to then relay signs, which is actually, Major League Baseball is a little bit concerned with that, but they're more concerned about this, is teams had an idea of teams that possibly could be stealing signs through using cameras in the outfield, is that then teams were going to multiple signs with nobody on base, which then takes an extra 5 to 7 seconds
oh,
to
wow.
go over those signs. And
oh,
like,
now our games are longer because you guys are cheating.
Yeah, so they're just saying that, look, there will be no more cameras between foul pole to foul pole besides the ones authorized to be broadcasting the game, and MLB will have that broadcast too to make sure that people aren't stealing signs. I mean, there was like the Apple Watch that people were using to try to relay stuff as quickly as they could
so
to the dugout.
You plant a friend or something in the audience?
I guess you could. You yeah. still could, but they don't have authorization to be in those areas where you allow the cameras to broadcast the games, where you can get a great look at the signs that are going down. So no more cameras in the outfield to try to help speed up the game. The pitch clock that is being used in spring training and is being used in the minor leagues. I get to call some of the Frisco games. They're taking that off of the things that they want to do to improve the game to present to the Players Association. And to me, the players are fighting this one. And here's what I don't get or understand, guys. I was a quick pitcher, so it didn't affect me at all. It's kind of like in 2002 when they said, hey, we're going to test for steroids. I didn't care. I wasn't doing them. I'm like, fine, test once a month. I don't care. I don't do steroids. Test all you want. But there was 30% of the players, maybe even more, but I know at least 30% of the players are like, no, we're not doing testing. That's against our rights. Well, they didn't want testing because they were doing steroids. And they didn't want to get tested for steroids. And now there's players that are like, no, no pitch clock. And it's not just the pitchers. It's also the hitters that like taking a lot of time on getting back into the batter's box and going through their routine. It's like, for me, it wouldn't affect me. I'd get the ball and I'd pitch the ball within 10 to 12 seconds. It wasn't a big deal. But there's players fighting this, but it does help out the game. We had Eric Nadell on last week, and he talked, he'd really like that. I heard RJ Choppy talking about this on the morning show, and what people I think have wrong is this. If you go to a minor league game, it's not that you have to throw the pitch within 20 seconds if there's a runner on base. You just have to be able to, the catcher catches the ball. As the catcher's throwing the ball back to the pitcher, the clock starts. You have a countdown of 20 seconds. All you have to do in those 20 seconds is catch the ball, get back on the mound, get on the rubber, take your sign from the catcher, and start the process of bringing your hands together to get into the stretch situation. Once you do that, the clock goes off. You don't have to throw the pitch within 20 seconds, because I get it. I thought this too. You can't do that, because then the runner at first base or second base will see the clock going down one and then be like, I'm taking off. He has to throw a pitch to home plate, and now I don't have to worry about timing. That's not the case. In the minor leagues, which they want to do this in the major leagues, is once you start bringing your hands together to come into the stretch position, the clock goes off. Now you can hold the ball for 6 seconds if you want to, making the runner get kind of, I call it stale at first base. You want him to have kind of flat feet, heavy feet. Sometimes you hold the ball to get him off of your timing. So it's, I would like for that rule to be placed in. But part of me is, I don't have a problem with that rule. I never stalled on the mound like David Price or other guys that stall on the mound. So they're taking that off until 2022. I was really hoping here pretty soon that they could put in the pitch clock. It helps out the minor league game a little bit. It's not a huge difference, but it does help that, hey, most likely there's going to be a pitch within 20 seconds instead of, for some guys, it can get up to 35 seconds. And for most guys, they're within that. It doesn't affect them. But there are the 25% of the pitchers that this would affect, and I don't know why they have to protect those 25% of players.
You know, it's just obvious that it's not killing the fan interest. You know, so I get where they're trying to perfect it and everything, but I don't think it's worth upsetting so many players. You know, just keep on pushing it back. Hey, for me, it's not good enough to have action every 5 minutes unless it's a real meaningful playoff game. But for a lot of fans, they're perfectly okay with hanging out and eating their peanuts and waiting for the next cool thing to happen.
And I want to tease this into the Fantastic Four with the Texas Rangers. We might have robots calling games soon.
Tease this. I like the way Gavin says peanuts.
Peanuts? How does he say peanuts again?
Peanuts.
Oh, okay. Peanuts. You went peanuts.
Peanuts?
Yeah, and I really liked it.
Okay.
Because it's almost risque, but it's really just your way of saying peanuts.
Yeah,
peanuts.
Makes the mind's eye wander a little bit, doesn't it?
Wander right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.